You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, December 4th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday, folks. Not a particularly joyous Casual Friday. Joining us will be Cliff Schechter. Also on the program today, John Benjamin will be here to talk about his latest jazz album. That's making it a little happier for Kelly. I don't know. I know Cliff is going to have a lot to say. We have not spoken to him in 2 weeks, last week being Thanksgiving, and it seems like a long time ago. And it was probably 3 or 4 or 5 mass shootings ago that we had a mass shooting in a Planned Parenthood. And, of course, people are aware of what happened in California this week. Also on the program, IRS losing a significant amount of its investigators. That'll work out well. The Senate passes an Obamacare repeal for the first time. President Obama will obviously veto, but nevertheless. Women are now going to get almost the full complement, apparently, of combat roles in the U.S. military. And Donald Trump has a huge lead, ladies and gentlemen. Leaving everyone in the dust. He has a 20-point lead in the latest national CNN poll. Number two is Ted Cruz. 20 points significantly outside the margin of error. And more on the guns front, as if we didn't have enough problems with guns in this country, I bring you Gun TV. Ladies and gentlemen, Gun TV. All that and more on today's program. We're going to get very quickly to Cliff Schechter because we also need to get to John Benjamin. But I just wanted to take this opportunity. Excuse me. The office is now... it's like an infirmary in here now. Kelly is sick. I am still, not 100%. I'm feeling somewhat better, but I wanted to thank people for the kind well wishes and et cetera. Also, just remind you that this program exists because of its members. We can't do the free show without the support of our members. It is 90-some-odd% of our revenue. Freebies know that occasionally we get some ads. Members don't know that because they get the program ad-free. That's basically the deal we make. The show, if you are a freebier, sometimes Michael likes to call them freeloaders, not nice. What's that? What is that?
I'm a tough cookie.
Oh, you're a tough cookie.
Yeah.
We will get to the Donald Trump audio. But this show cannot exist but for your support. So if you have the wherewithal, the means to do it, please support the program. You pay for your cable, you pay whatnot. And as a bonus, as a thank you to you, what we do is we not only give you an ad-free show every day, but also give you an extra 50, sometimes 90 minutes of content on a daily basis. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate, a great gift, folks. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And in fact, what we're going to do over the weekend is we're going to have a place on the website where you can actually print a coupon out and give it as part of the gift. So this is what you get. You get the coffee. You give it as a gift. You give the Majority Report blend, let's say. And then you give them the coupon, too. So they think you've given them a gift. Well, you have. In a way, you have. That they can get the 10% off in the future. Even if they don't listen to the show, they don't know about this. That's a great, great gift. It's a great Hanukkah gift. It's a great Christmas gift. It's a great, hey, you work here and I don't hate you gift. Or an office gift. Yeah. All right. And also, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. We'll be right back with Cliff Schechter. All right, we are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, is our regular Friday guest, and he is held in such high esteem around these parts that we conjure up this little ditty, of course, from Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Cliff, we missed a week with you last week. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Of course, on the day after Thanksgiving, a horrible gun attack at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. And then before you can even make it on, we're one or two mass gun attacks later One out in San Bernardino. We don't know fully the motivation. It's beginning to look like some type of, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know 100%, but it looks like some combination of a, I think what we would, you know, consider a sort of a terrorist attack, perhaps inspired by ISIS, and yep. some type of like weird mix of office grudge thing. I don't know, but
well, the thing is, Sam, it's so important about this. I don't mean to jump in, but I think this provides such a useful lesson, is that we want to sort of break everything down and almost become like, and all of us in general, I think it's a very human thing to do, and make it black and white.
Right.
You know, this person did it because of this, or they did it because of that, you know, whereas, you know, the world is gray. And there's a lot of times where, you know, these guys may have had some contact with ISIS. They were, I guess the husband went to Saudi Arabia. But even when you're become somewhat more radical, it may be something like an office situation that activates you, that makes you finally say, you know what, I've had these feelings, I've had these thoughts, now I'm going to act on them. And that's the reality of the world, and that's the reality of why gun safety that I advocate for and we push for is so important, because there's no one factor that leads to all of these things. Everybody just wants to say, oh, you know, well, and again, I shouldn't say everybody. It obviously comes a lot more from the right wing side, because they have an actual agenda to make it that it's only Muslims doing this. You get, I don't know if you knew this, but you actually get a do-over if you're shot by a white person, you know, or a Christian.
Right.
You don't die. You get an extra life. Where it's only bad if it's Muslims. They're the ones we got to pay attention to.
Right.
So, what? I mean, in all seriousness, though, that's what we're talking about here. So, you know, do we know the exact reason? No, there's some combination. But you know what? The lunatic that went after Planned Parenthood, clearly he was a religious nut. Clearly he was a loner who had some mental instability. Clearly he hated, he was anti-abortion and hated Planned Parenthood and had serious problems with women. From you know, his own proclivities for, I mean, being accused of rape, being accused of domestic battery, being accused of being a peeping Tom. I mean, there's a clear pattern here, but it, you know, there's no, we can never say that there's one factor, and if you get lost in that, that's where the right wants us to get lost, because the thing here is that preventative measures when it comes to gun safety, no matter what your reasoning is, will stop people from doing this. Because we have all these types of people in every other society, and yet this almost never happens in every other society. So that's the thing to kind of keep our eyes on the ball about.
Right. And I also think it's important that we don't get caught up in whether gun safety would increase gun safety would eliminate every single attack, or this attack versus that attack. I mean, the idea is that we are now in this weird era when literally this happens, statistically speaking, on average, every day. Every right. day.
And,
I mean,
and,
you know.
Go ahead. And
well, no, but the point being that, yes, we are not going to eliminate them so much so that we don't have what is, you know, widely construed as a mass gun attack, where I think that's where multiple people are shot. Every day.
Here's the thing, and I almost want to respond by giving people who are listening to your show, you know, like messaging and telling them what to say when you're either, well, I don't care if you're somebody who goes on the radio, if you're somebody who writes for something, if you're somebody who talks in your class, if you're somebody who talks to your relatives who give you these crazy things, that is another right-wing talking point that is idiotic. Well, you know, that wouldn't have stopped us. Don't get yourself and say, you know, the response really should just be, what's the one thing that led to a huge decline in smoking? Yeah, you can't name that, can you? Because there's a whole number of things
right.
that led to a huge decline. What's the one thing that led to a huge decline in drunk driving? You know, this is a similar – what's the one thing – I mean, you don't want to say this to right-wingers because they're crazy on the subject anyhow, but what's one of the one things that led to a decline in HIV? I mean, these are things where when there's a public health issue, you learn what the various things are and you try to attack it from every angle. There's no one thing that's going to stop
right.
every one of these shootings. You know, I could give you something that would have stopped almost every one of them, either a background check or a smart gun, you know, or not having another gun there that led to more tragedy or – I mean, I can really go into that and probably deconstruct most of these things because I know about what's out there and what we can do. But in the end, that's the thing. There's not any one thing, which is why you treat it like a public health problem and you try to get at it from every angle, from prevention, from education, you know, from rehabilitation in certain cases. You know, there's economic aspects that would lead to less of this. There's a whole lot of things that would. But gun safety is certainly the most key component that we're now not doing anything with.
What is stunning is that in many respects, I mean, we're going the wrong direction. And, you know, you and I have talked about this idea of you know, I, and again, you know, and since we've talked about it, I've become sort of more conscious of it. You know, I cannot, and I haven't spent hours upon hours, but I spent a decent amount of time, I don't know, an hour or two, trying to find out from everything I could read online, what was the who was the maker of the gun that Robert Deere used when he shot up the Planned Parenthood? Who was the maker of the guns that were used in California? I mean, these and why don't we ever hear that? You know, like I really do think that these gun makers.
I think that's incredibly. Information is one of the answers here. You may have seen. I mean, it went very viral. The Twitter, you know, just rant that Igor Volsky went on of Think
yes.
Progress, showing everyone when these guys offer their thoughts and prayers and throwing it back in their faces and saying maybe you're only offering thoughts and prayers because the NRA gave you, you know, this X amount of money. You probably, you know, all you're getting is thoughts and prayers from X because they were given this amount of money from the NRA. I mean, these kinds of things. And that's similar to what this is, which is to let people know what the motivating factors are and who are the bad guys. And without, you know, giving away more than I'm able to give away now, I have a big project next year that's going to be about a lot of that kind of stuff, including what you're talking about, Sam.
Right.
So, you know, and at this point, looks to be hopefully well-funded, but we will be raising small money donations. So, you know, I'll be repeating that on this show a number of times, and hopefully you'll link to it, but because that needs to be done. People need to have more information. They need to know who the bad guys are. They need to know who to make life difficult for, because these guys, you know, just they walk between the raindrops.
I think,
you know, they're out. They get away with this stuff, and they shouldn't.
You know, there was a moment after Newtown where I believe it was a large holding company, which I think owned either money in a gun company. I can't remember this exactly now, but
it was Cerberus. Cerberus, yes.
And the guy who ran the holding company, the investment company essentially, was either from Sandy Hook or from that general area, or his parents lived in that neighborhood, and ultimately just sort of that sense of like, you know, the guy for whatever reason, either it you know, he felt it was, came to realize what he was doing was in some way immoral or made him uncomfortable or whatever reason, something made him uncomfortable to be involved in it. And they got out of that business. I mean, that level of uncomfortability, like you say, be able to walk between the raindrops. You should be no longer allowed to do that. I want to take a look at something
because
the opposite.
Faces should be plastered on billboards, and they should be everywhere, and they should be ostracized from, you know, and again, let me be very clear when I say all this. I never, ever, and never, ever will encourage any kind of violence. I will discourage it. So this is not about that. I don't want anybody doing anything like that. What I want is them to be literally ostracized by their friends and pushed away from polite society. And I know their friends probably with some rich right-wing a-holes like them, and they won't be ostracized by them. But, you know, when they go to the you know, sort of like when we talk about the Koch brothers and all the stuff they fund at the Natural History Museum and stuff like that, it's in those kinds of circles you want these people to be ostracized, because they really crave that, most of these rich right-wing nuts. They crave, you know, mainstream love for them and respect and all of that.
But it's also,
you can hurt them there.
We should also say it's not just about these people. It's also about just people in society who don't know those people. People in society who begin to just, you know, if we're talking about shaping the culture and changing the culture, where it becomes a general feeling in society that you know, making your money by selling semi-automatic weapons and selling ammunition for these type of weapons, which really have, at the end of the day, only two purposes. One, it's fun to shoot off, and one, it's fun to shoot off at people. And that's basically it, right? And you know, there was just an announcement. I don't know if this is just was just announced, but in early 2016, there's going to be a new cable channel.
That Gun TV?
Gun TV, that is basically like the home shopping network. You won't be able to, you'll be able to purchase your guns. You'll be able to, you know, the guy will come on just like he's selling, you know, a Cuisinart and talk about this gun or that gun and these weapons and these bullets can pierce, you know, these bullets can go right through, you know, a couple of pieces of drywall if you make it through the studs and you want to shoot people from the other side. I mean, who knows how they're going to pitch it? Just going to sell these things and just, you know, for people out of curiosity, the, they can't ship them directly to people's homes because they have to go to a federally recognized, shop that, can do some anemic, background check. But nevertheless, culturally speaking, if you can sell guns like this, and, you know, there used to be a time in this country where you could not, it wasn't a federal law, as far as I know, but it was just basically a you know, a so-called gentleman's agreement, I guess, that you would not, as a broadcast network, you would not advertise liquor in this country. And
that's right.
You know, putting aside,
I think there were laws, and I think there were actually laws.
I don't know if there was. You know, there may have been some SEC regulations. But I will say this, like,
in some states.
Putting aside the question of liquor, the idea was is that it was supposed to impact the culture in some way, and it did. And, you know, at least in terms of, like, kids and whatnot, theoretically. And you know, when you mainstream something like this, when you make it like this is just another product that we buy, like a Cuisinart or whatever it is, then, you know, you're making greater gun ownership a reality, and we know there's a direct correlation between the amount of guns that are owned in any type of locality and the amount of gun deaths. I mean, there's a direct correlation.
Common sense would tell you that, but every study shows it too. So, you know, except for the fraudulent studies of John Lawton, he's a crank and he's dishonest and has been busted a number of times. He's a fraud. So if you look at all the actual objective studies that people that care about social science have done, you'll see that. And if you open your eyes, you can yourself compare, let's say, England to Yemen, and I think you can figure out what's going on in each.
Listen to what this moron from Ulster County, and this is just upstate. This is about an hour and a half, you know, probably from New York City. This is the Ulster County Sheriff, Paul J. Van Blarkum is his name.
That's actually a name?
Yeah, it is. I think this is an elected position, and it would make sense. This is what he put on Facebook, and apparently it got a lot of traction. Attention, licensed handgun owners. In light of recent events that have occurred in the United States and around the world, I want to encourage citizens of Ulster County who are licensed to carry a firearm to please do so. I urge you to responsibly take advantage of your legal right to carry a firearm. This is a sheriff. What an effing moron. Yeah. What a total effing moron. To ensure the safety in yourself and others, make sure you're comfortable and proficient with your weapon. I would like to know the guys in Ulster County who are comfortable and proficient enough that when it comes time for a mass shooting situation, that these guys are so comfortable and well-trained that they can whip their firearm out. Bam, 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 take them out.
None of them.
Right.
Because, again, this proposition has been tested. ABC News did it. You know, when they talk about college, you know, guns on campuses, they gave the kids, you know, at one place they did a test, fake guns, right? You had to use it. You didn't know when somebody was going to walk in. You even knew somebody was coming, but you didn't know when. And everybody failed all the time, and really what they managed to do is they managed to I don't know how they sort of scored it. I don't know if it was laser guns or whatever it was. They managed to shoot each other a lot, but they didn't manage to actually shoot the person who was coming in. Because most people in those circumstances, anybody you know who's a veteran will tell you that, and people you know who work in, you know, work in on police forces will tell you that, because it, you know, NYPD cops only hit what they're supposed to hit about 30% of the time in studies they've done. If you're not trained, the body freezes up. You have fight or flight. That's a natural reaction to this stuff. And so then, you know, what a lot of states have been doing, I think New York State is probably much better than most, but a lot of states have been doing it, is the, one of the big NRA pushes have been to get rid of the number of hours required on the range, which really is as criminal as anything else they do. Because what they're doing is not just telling people to load up, but they're making sure they're as unprepared as possible. And that's insanity, you know? And I mean, that's beyond just being interested in guns. That's just stupid. I mean, you know, you want to be a guitarist in a band, it's sort of like, well, then don't play the guitar.
Right.
Don't practice. You'll be great with it. I mean, it's idiotic, you know? So it's sort of, that's what you, I mean, it's almost like it even goes beyond just their gun fetish. It's almost like it comes down to, like, every stupid thing you could do that would make sense under no circumstances to do, these people push for. And this sheriff, this idiot, reminds me of that sheriff out in Oregon where the terrible shooting happened, who had been one of these types too. Oh, you know, maybe now he believes it. Before he was a Sandy Hook truther. Now that he saw the bodies around him, maybe, you know, and that's all these guys are doing also statistically is increasing the likelihood that a crazy person is going to shoot them.
Right. Or so, they're going
to
shoot themselves.
But they're too dumb to know that.
Or they're going to shoot themselves.
They're too stupid
or somebody
to know
else.
That.
I mean, you know, God forbid anybody starts, you know, more actively carrying their guns around and, you know, inevitably, the more people you have carrying around their guns and taking them out of their safes and saying, you know, the sheriff is telling me I got to wear these around town. You know, you've just sort of almost you have almost necessarily raised the chance that some kid is going to end up with that gun. Or a gun somewhere. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And
of course,
you know, people are not
because the NRA also blocks almost as popular as background checks and closing the terror gap where it allows people on the watch list to get guns is making people have to report lost and stolen guns. But that's another thing the NRA blocks. It's been passed in some states, not in others. It hasn't been passed federally because they've got an illegal thriving market where gun dealers sell guns out the back door. And oops, the inventory, you know, you don't need to show that guns were, you know, you can just claim, oh, some guns were probably stolen, but you don't need to report it. I mean, it's, you know, it's clearly, there's so much of just profiteering and so much sleaziness behind the whole thing. And yet all these people fall for the whole, it's your right. It's your Second Amendment right. When there's so much else going on here. So, yeah, that sheriff, he's going to – I mean, we've had some of these guards at schools leave their guns in the bathroom.
Right.
We've had – I mean, if there's a gun there, it's more likely it will be left somewhere. It will, as you're pointing out, it will go off accidentally. A number of things will happen. What it won't do in most cases, if you're some idiot sheriff and you're some layman running for that position who doesn't have any real training for that position, is do something stupid like that, as opposed to people like Secret Service and whatever who go through so much training – and go through so much, you know, with this, and even they can screw up at times, but at least in those cases, you're quite confident that these are people that have been through a ton of training with weaponry, have a basic understanding, have the potential ability to get past their fight or flight, you know, because they've been under live fire before. But to think that Joe Yahoo can pull that off is just idiotic.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's transition from that to talk just a little bit about this announcement today. I guess it was by today by the Pentagon that women now are being basically expanded into all combat roles. Give me your take on that one.
I think that's great. You know, I mean, I fully support it. I think that you know, we're getting to a more equal society. I whether I were a woman or a man, wouldn't want to be in a combat role myself.
Right, indeed.
So, but clearly they're made of different stuff than I am, probably better stuff. But I mean, there should be no reason why a woman who has proven herself and wants to do that should be prevented from doing that. You know, it, to me, where I have a problem is I feel like there are certain natural differences between between people. For example, someone who's larger than me, I'd rather have be a fireman because I don't think I can lift huge people and carry them out of a building, right?
Right.
But there's plenty of women that are stronger than I am, quite frankly, and are bigger than I am, and go through this kind of training like the SEALs and some of these other the Rangers and the elite forces that I could never complete, and they can. So it doesn't matter what. If the overall average of men is that men will be stronger than women and will be taller and whatever, that's fine. But there clearly are many exceptional women who, if they want to be in these roles, should be allowed to be in them. So I think it's a step forward, and I think it's a positive legacy for President Obama that he's doing that.
Right, indeed. All right, well, let's talk about, I just wanted to mention it because I think it is, it's something that's going to get lost, and it's... We could very well this time next year be talking about the first woman who is president-elect. Yep. We'll see.
Let me say quickly before we move on from it, you brought up the point about guns before, and certainly guns are one subject where this is clearly important, but on every one of the changes that we're trying to make in society to move forward more towards whether it's safety, whether it's inclusiveness, no matter what it is, people have to be able to envision what it is that we're trying to get them to move towards. There has to be, if we're trying to say women should have full equality, the more ways people can envision that can look out culturally and say, hey, well, the military now is treating women with full equality, kind of like when we were pushing for the LGBT community to be treated with full equality in the military. When that happens, then that's a statement. People may forget this, but one of the most important acts, in terms of heading towards where, a place that we still haven't reached, where there would be equality among races, but at least to a point where we made it illegal for segregation and these things, was Truman saying the armed forces were going to be desegregated. The armed forces has often been a place
right.
where these things have happened first. So, that is very important what he did. FDR before him was the first one when it came to federal contracts where they said that it had to be companies that were equal employers. These are huge steps forward that governments can that the government can take because they have that kind of power there. And so there's a history of this. And I think it's hugely important when it comes to what just happened, because I think it'll start to change the way people that are my kids' ages. I don't know if you look at your kids and see the way they view. It's amazing, isn't it? My kids now, they are just as appalled by anybody who is anti-gay as they are by racism.
Yeah,
yes. You and I weren't brought
right.
up that way.
No, my kids.
My family. I don't know your parents, but I don't know how you were brought up. I assume in a liberal household. I was brought up in a very liberal household where when people said anti-gay things, my parents always instructed me it was wrong. But I heard them all the time. You know what I mean? Whereas I didn't hear racist things all the time. And now it's equal.
Yeah, I think, frankly, my upbringing was similar. I don't even know that, frankly. We had a consciousness of it. And I don't think that growing up in Worcester anyways, there wasn't sort of that, there was no consciousness. I don't even think I was aware
right.
that there were gay people until I was in high school. And then it was just sort of this vague thing there was some like vague pejorative, not necessarily coming from my parents, but just sort of broadly in society. Now my 10-year-old daughter, the idea that people would be homophobic in some way is just sort of a bizarre. You might as well say like people are just misanthropic in the same way. Like I don't understand
right.
people who don't like people. I mean it's literally
right. What's wrong
that,
with that
way? Right. I mean it's
yeah.
Just,
I'll just say quickly. A strong memory, and I went to a very liberal Episcopalian school in New York City, Grace Church down in the Village. And, it was very forward thinking. It was made up of Christians, Jews, Catholics, Episcopalian. It was very open minded. And there was a kid I remember in my grade, and that's why this has stuck with me, who came in and said, his dad was telling him how he'd like to shoot, and said the F word for gays, which I won't say. And I couldn't believe, I was a little shocked. But when I went home and I repeated it to my mom and dad, I remember them being just outraged. And saying that is horrible. That is, but that was the kind of rhetoric when we were kids that even in a place as liberal as I was in, was acceptable that
right.
mainstream people actually said, and that clearly has changed enormously, and the only place you'd hear that kind of rhetoric is in fundamentalist communities and places like that. And so that's the cultural change, that you can see it. You know, it's amazing when you have kids, you can see it in the next generation. Same thing when it comes to the differences between men and women. Like, no, none of that stuff. They don't sit there saying boys are better or any of that stuff, unless it's just a silly competition or whatever. But there's none of that, that boys are superior to girls, and actually thinking that. And so that, you know, this is another way we move forward with that. And that's, I think that's important. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Well, listen, we just got about like literally 3 or 4 minutes left here, because we've got John Benjamin coming on to talk about his new album. Musical album,
cool.
Actually.
That's cool.
But before we get there,
you hear the news about Weiland?
Yes, heard that he passed
That's
away.
Sad.
Yes, it is sad.
I was a Stone Temple Pilots fan, way back when.
It was a little bit for myself, but let's just talk briefly. We are now in December. There's really, you know, not too many more weeks of. We're going to see a debate. I guess will happen next week, a Republican debate. Donald Trump has sort of begrudgingly said he will attend the CNN debate. Do them a favor.
About the $5 million donation.
Right. Do them a favor. But there's a new CNN poll out today where Donald Trump is up 36%. His next closest competitor is Ted Cruz at 16%. Trump is up in New Hampshire. I believe he's still number one in Iowa. I haven't seen South Carolina, but this is pretty stunning. I mean, at what point do we start to see the Republican establishment start to turn?
They're trying already.
Well, but no, they're
pouring money into Kasich's super PAC,
right,
so that he can attack him.
Right,
and
in the span of these two ads that have come out by the Kasich super PAC, he has gained in the polls.
Oh, I didn't say it's working.
Right.
I'm just saying they're trying. I don't think they can stop him. Again, I think there's absolutely zero way the Republican establishment can stop Trump. If Trump is stopped, it's because he stops himself.
Right.
Well, and that's possible.
Let me ask you
this. I don't know what that is at this point, because I think, honestly, if you said that you know, we need to burn the non-believers alive while chanting Christian slogans, you know, and how great America is while shooting off our guns, would be something that would appeal. I don't know really where you can go past the right-wing base. Again, I'm not going to sort of sugarcoat it anymore. The right-wing Republican base is fascist. It is, in every way possible, from the misogyny to the racism to the xenophobia. If you look up the definition of fascism, they are in every way. And so there's no – you can't go past where they are. You just can't. So I mean, look at what you just said, right? Between Trump, just Trump and Cruz, you get yourself to 52% of their primary. So add in then the other lunatics. I mean, they're all not lunatics, but the other ones on the far right of the equation. Add in what Rick Santorum's 0.5% and Mike
Carson,
Huckabee's 3 or 4%.
Huckabee.
You know, Rand Paul's couple. Go ahead.
Carson, Huckabee.
Oh, Carson, yeah.
I mean, Carly Fiorina.
That takes you towards 70%.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. At this point, it's not like even that it's just a bare majority. The lunatic fringe of who votes in Republican primaries is probably, every time you add it up, I get to somewhere around 70%. So it's not like when people say, well, you know, Cruz and Trump will split the vote or whatever. It doesn't matter, because there's enough vote there for them both to split it and one of them to still win.
All right. Well, let me
that's what you're talking about.
Let me ask you one quick question. Do you think at one point they make the decision, even if it's like in April, all right, that it's clearly going to be Trump or it's clearly going to be Cruz, let's say, and they and the big money says, you know what, we're just going to spend the money on holding the Senate. That's what I am afraid of, that they're going to actually see this coming so far out that they're just going to give up. Or does it not work that way? Can you not salvage the Senate with a candidate like that on the top of the ballot? Because the problem is too many of people who would otherwise not vote for the Democrat come out to vote against your candidate.
Yeah, well, that's the issue, right? Because it's also this cycle. It's part of it that it's a presidential year. Okay, that's hugely important. And then there's the fact of that it's so detrimental to the Republican Senate candidates if you allow – because of where right. some of these key races are taking place. I mean, I think Mark Kirk is done no matter what.
Right.
So that one I'm not going to even count. I think he's out. But – and I think Ron Johnson against Russ Feingold is probably done in Wisconsin no matter what, too, because he's way too right-wing and nuts. But Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, Rob Portman here – who are some of the other ones I've been thinking about? You've got an open seat in Indiana, grand Republican state, but one that Obama won once. You've got Burr in North Carolina, even though they don't have a candidate yet. I'm sure they will get somebody. When you start going to some of those more sort of marginal swing states,
right?
You know, Missouri. I think they took a poll, and the guy who's running there was actually ahead of. I mean, Blunt's numbers there are terrible. So I mean, you know, you've got a situation where if they don't prop up whoever it is, at least to a certain degree. You know, the open seat in Florida. I mean, the more I kind of think about this, I mean, you know, they could lose 10 seats that night in the Senate if they don't prop up to a certain degree the presidential candidate. I mean, you can't have that much fall off. There's very few people that can outperform the I mean, there are some, but
right.
You have to do pretty well to outperform the top of the ticket by 20 points or 15 points even. Anything up to 10 points, doable. So that's the thing. And that's, that it'll be interesting to see what they choose to do in those circumstances. But, yeah, I think they're going to pull back and essentially, you know, maybe compete for Harry Reid's open seat in Nevada.
Right.
And otherwise, just play a huge amount of defense.
Well, Cliff, we'll see in the coming weeks and months, I guess. But thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Bye-bye. Had to be a little bit quick with Cliff because I want to get John Benjamin on the show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, John Benjamin will talk about his newly released on Sub Pop, a jazz album, if you can believe it. The voice of Archer, the voice of, what is it, Bob's Burgers, and also the voice of The Majority Report. We'll be right back after this.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, Jackson's corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band, huh. Riding a studs back at Jim.
We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, on Fridays we have... often have guests from the comedy world, from the film world, from the literary world, and very rarely do we have people on from the music world. Well, this man first came to my attention some time ago, but my understanding is too is that he's also the voice of this program. He does the famous Majority Report that at the beginning of the program, and he does other things too. Apparently, he's also on.
You were not aware of that? That I was.
John, it did just come to my attention. I was mentioning today to new Matt and new Kelly mm-hmm. that John Benjamin was coming on the program. You may know him from, some cartoons or something like that. And
right.
They said he's also
the voice. You're on.
That's true. It is absolutely true. That's how I became aware of your work on those programs, by actually being on those programs myself.
Right.
And you do a fine job on those. I mean.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean,
you are, that doesn't make it less.
But, John, I was intrigued because then I heard that you have come out with a music album. Now, I wasn't so mm-hmm. surprised by that, but I was really shocked that it was jazz because I had no idea that you were so oriented towards jazz. Let's play a clip of this. This is a clip off of John Benjamin's album released by Sub Pop called I Should've.
I should have.
But this
no,
is
no, yes, not and an ellipsis.
It's okay.
After. I mean, well,
it's,
I should have.
It's, everything's digital today. Go ahead. Okay, that's just a clip of John. What? Okay, let me ask you. What? Were you playing all of the instruments on that?
No, I am. I'm on the keys. I'm on the piano.
You're on the piano now.
It was a quartet. I'm the leader of the band, but I play piano.
You played the piano, and I mean, it's fascinating for me.
Yes, we have a saxophone, bass, drums, and me on piano.
Yeah, that part sounded great, the saxophone and the bass. And the. But I have to say, John, you know, you and I, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, I've known you probably since, I don't know, we probably met when you were in elementary school. And
I think in like sixth grade,
Seventh grade. I think we also may have gone to that JCC camp together for a while, but I didn't know
I
you.
I think we did. I think we went to the same orthodontist. I know
Dr. Rubin.
The same.
Was it Rubin? Was it Rubin?
Probably something like that. Rubin.
Oh no, no. Rubin was the dentist. Stein. Right, right. Okay, but you know,
Dr. Morin. Yeah,
that guy actually had a substantial...
I'm sure he's listening. I'm sure he's listening.
He had a substantial issue, it was my understanding, where a lot of that orthodonture money went to. But that aside, John, my understanding and knowing you, and of course, we came much closer in college. During that entire time, and we've known each other now for, I don't know, about 30-some-odd years, maybe 40. I don't ever remember you ever playing the piano.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I never did. And I did just that day for the album.
Just that day?
I mean, that was the first time. Yeah. Well, right. When we recorded in the studio, that's the first time I ever played the piano.
All right, so that really begs the question. You've got three great jazz musicians and their studio musicians, and you come in to play the piano.
They were good. They were good. They were not great. They were good.
Okay, good. I mean, solid. It sounded pretty good.
Why? Totally solid. They knew what they were doing.
Let me ask you, why? Why did you do that?
Well, I was asked to make an album. A comedy album, and I didn't have anything that funny to say or to do, and so I thought I would make a jazz album. So I think that was really just I wouldn't say it was a lark. I'd say it was an experiment that went awry.
Right. I mean, it sounds like it failed.
Well, it's kind of intended to fail, but I tried really hard to play. So I wasn't trying to play poorly. I was trying to play well.
No, I mean that comes across.
I mean, I hope so. I think there is a distinction between people really trying to play poorly.
Well, you know,
can't play trying to play well.
I saw a review of your album online.
I'm sure.
It was one of those a YouTube review by a guy who apparently what's the name of this guy? I'm pulling it up right now. The Needle Drop, which apparently is a big music review site, and he thought that for someone who didn't know what they were doing, you were not it sounded like you were trying, and I think, but then he still panned the album.
Yes, well, that's, he panned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of that.
Now, let me ask you this. What was the feeling of the jazz musicians who were in there, who were probably about your age, right? That's the late 60s, early 70s. And
you mean when they were born? Or
no, I'm saying in terms of their age. These are guys who had...
Well, I'm not in my early 70s, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going by the pictures. I should have probably looked that up. But it seems to me that you have... these guys in there who have dedicated their lives to playing music, who take a lot of pride in it. So you come in and you sit down at the piano and you just think that you can play the piano because you want to on that day. What was their reaction?
Well, I think based on your litany of insults, you would imagine they would have been unhappy, and two of the three were, yes. Two out of the three musicians, I think, were not offended, but were not happy to be there.
Right. And why was
the sax player, who actually is a very talented guy, and kind of brought in a lot of the melodies. I do think it's a bit crass for somebody who plays no jazz at all, it doesn't even play the instrument, to get the opportunity to make an album when really hardworking jazz artists probably don't even, on the whole, don't even have that opportunity. So in that sense, yeah, that was, I think they maybe had a little chip on their shoulder. But most of them were up for it.
I don't know if that's really a chip on their shoulder is really the right way to say that. I mean, because I think it's a pretty justified resent. I mean, because we should make this clear.
A little bit.
It's not just a question you had the opportunity to record some music, right? I mean, you didn't self-release this. Sub Pop, which is a well-known indie label. In fact, Nirvana, the number of well-known musicians and bands that have been released by Sub Pop, and they presumably, right, they pay for marketing. Like, I see there's obviously a publicist involved in this. Like, so this isn't just like you recording it. You got paid to do this, and that is, I think, offensive to a lot of people.
Well, they got paid to do it too. I didn't make them do it for free. The musicians were paid to do it. So
did
wasn't
they,
like,
at the end of the process, did they say, could we have more money?
I mean, I think they were like, probably like, I will never do anything like this again. But they were probably fairly satisfied with the money. They paid like low end, but decently.
Did they know that they were coming to play with someone who not only was not great in piano, but also like, you know, really, I mean, let's face
you play like
someone who doesn't know what they're doing on the piano.
Right. The big problem was they didn't know, it wasn't a prank on them. They knew what they were getting into, but they didn't know how hard it would be to record songs with me. And so that, because we did it all in the same studio, in the same room, and they were not like, that was hard to negotiate, because I was playing so poorly, it affected them from playing well, so that was hard, and they started, that made them aggravated, but it worked out, because we were able to get the songs out after a while, but that was a little bit difficult.
All right, now, it's one thing to not know how to play the piano, but do you know how to play the saxophone?
No, but I might.
Do you know how to play the guitar?
No.
Do you know how to play the flute?
No.
Do you know how to play the drums?
A little bit.
Do you know how to play the oboe?
Yes.
My point is, John, you don't know how to play any instrument, do you?
I mean, there's a huge opportunity for me to make more albums. Let's put it that way.
So you're saying you could put out your next jazz album could be with you playing the sax, for instance.
Correct. like that would be a follow-up opportunity. I could play bass. I could play drums. I could play oboe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's almost, there's almost no instrument you couldn't play that wouldn't be a legitimate, or there's no instrument that you couldn't try to play that wouldn't be a legitimate follow-up, because you'd never come upon an instrument that you knew how to play.
But let me be clear. I've made an oath, and I've started taking piano lessons. This is true.
Have you?
And I am trying to learn to play the piano so that I can record an album where I can play the piano. So that is a goal. And yeah. I think in like 3 or 4 years' time, I will put out my next jazz album and I'll be able to play relatively well, although not great.
Now, John, there's another song on the album. And there is one where you actually do sort of play an instrument, if you will. It is your voice. It's an old song. I remember this song from a long time ago. Let's play.
Don't play that. That's not appropriate.
Well, I mean, you put it on your album.
Well, I know, but I didn't mean for it to be played whenever anybody wants. That's sort of private.
I understand it's sort of private, but you put it on your album. It's called...
I know that, but I mean, there's use discretion. It's on the trust system of, like, you know.
Well, there's nothing on the album that says trusted. It's called Amy's the Bum Steer. What is it? Let's just hear just a little bit of this.
Step aside, clear a space for the butt smear.
All right.
That was a song. It is an old song. It is not. No.
It's Amy's song. Who's Amy?
Amy is my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That I wrote that song for. It was a.
I remember when you wrote that
first,
song.
The first thing I gave her.
Yes, that was a lovely present. I remember when you. When you recorded that and gave that to Amy.
Yes, she didn't love it.
Mm. Well, she must be very excited that you put it on your album.
Well, I mean, nobody knows who Amy is, really.
And until now.
I didn't intend for it to be specifically Amy. It's Amy's representative of everybody.
It's like everybody's song.
Kind of, yeah. That's an interpretation. It was an artistic choice.
Is your son proud of you, John?
He hasn't heard that song. I hope he never does.
Well, I mean, let's hope he doesn't have like a computer or access to a computer. I mean, kids today, they don't have access to computers or phones, do they?
I took all his electronics away years ago.
You did. All right. Well, John, you should be very proud. I mean, it's your debut album. You have the deal with the devil. That's a spoken word thing. But the rest of it is, I can't play the piano part one. I can't play the piano part two. It had to be you, soft jazzercise. I can't play the piano part three. And what is it? I can't trill, baby.
I can't play the piano. I can't play the piano part four. Four is four parts.
I see. How did you come up with that title?
There was other options, but we landed on I Can't Play the Piano parts 1 through 4 for all the songs.
And
we just thought it was just more to the point. And
just lastly, one more question: the record company knew you were doing this, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they wouldn't have put it out if they didn't know, right?
Right. I mean...
It wasn't a trick on the record company.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was...
Look, it's like I will admit that it's a bit hard to listen to, but you kind of have to read between the notes. And, you know, for me, it was a passion project. I don't want to sit here and sell it, but why not? To me, I think it's a true celebration of underachievement.
Right. Well, I want to congratulate you. I really do think that you underachieved in this instance. And
then I succeeded. Thank you, sir.
Well, you're very welcome. We will link to the music on our site at majority.fm. I should have, with an asterisk, and then down at the bottom of the thing, if you continue to read, it says Learn to Play the Piano is the name of the album. And it is a it's a triumph of the human spirit, and I guess a defeat in many ways for human music.
Maybe, or a challenge.
Yeah, or you know, a small defeat, not a fatal blow, but you know.
I would say it's a light slap in the face.
It's a slap in the face to music and to talent, really, in many respects. But thank you so much for joining us, John. I know you're pressed for time because you've got some other commitment.
Yeah, I got to go learn how to play the piano.
Right. Well, good luck with that.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Wow. The album is available on, you can go to majority.fm. And I don't know, maybe someday if we ever do another fundraiser, we can get him to sign it or... He knows how to sign his name. I know. I'm aware of that. I know that he can actually write.
I've been looking for a way into jazz, too. So
yeah, this is a great introduction into appreciating the skill set of jazz by watching what happens when someone who's not skilled at it, you know, makes a great stocking stuffer.
It seems like a great thing to put on at a party or a dinner party, maybe just... for me and the people that I would invite or be around, and just to see if anyone says anything or and talk it up, like, oh, like this is the, because no, you know,
this
nobody
really
knows
innovative.
About jazz. Right.
This is something, this is new.
That's yeah, what and that, just casually mention yeah. it a little bit and see if anyone actually is like, this person doesn't know how to play the piano. What is this? Turn it off.
I'm so like, on that idea.
Yeah.
That's actually what
we
the guy
film it. That
who,
should be part of the viral marketing for this thing.
That's what the guy on the on that needle drop thing said. Like, you could do that, and it's a good way to suss out and see if your friends are really pretentious or not. Because the ones who go, like, this is amazing.
Right.
Well, the thing is, though, it is amazing.
So atonal.
It is kind of amazing.
It is amazing.
It's atonal and everything else A.
My family would listen to it for 10 minutes or less and be like, turn this off. What is this? And then I can picture like a lot of people I know going along with him, being like, oh, yeah.
But your family would do the same for, like, Sun Ra or something. Like, this is annoying.
My family really know music.
Oh,
and
cool.
They would listen if I was like, oh, here's something. And they would be like, no.
I think if I gave this to my dad, he would go, he would say something to the effect of, like, what is this bullshit?
Right.
And that's because he knows John. He wouldn't even put it on.
What? Can we play more of that song about his girlfriend?
Oh, it's not about his girlfriend. It's a song that he made for his girlfriend.
Oh, excuse me. Can we play more of it?
Well, you have to get the album. I don't know what to
really?
Tell you.
Well, okay. That's not going to
happen. All right, folks. Right, we're going to take a quick break. No. Do we have a Jimmy Reef cake song for today? Oh.
I didn't see one in the email.
I did not either.
He's taking a week off.
He's taking a week off. Well-deserved rest. Wait, did we have one last week? Maybe because
we have one the week before the vacation.
That's what I'm saying. The week before vacation, and maybe for Thanksgiving, and we didn't play it. Is that possible? Because we didn't do a Friday song because we were not here. Independent mode. He gave us one last night. Here it is. We want me to play it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hold on for 1 second. Let's see. This baby going here. Oh, hold on. All right, here is the Jimmy Reefer Cake song, ladies and gentlemen.
Those dudes can move them the way that I can. I move them without even using my hand. Move the one on the right, up and down. The left one independently jiggles around. They keep hanging lower, 'Cause I'm getting old. Can I still move them independently with control? Used to have the time to concentrate on my skills. Now all my time goes to paying the bills. My balls are hanging lower than my friggin' knees. No more Tea Party Patriots, please. My balls are getting sweaty, giving me the itches. No more milquetoast Democrat bitches. No solutions, all I see is resistance. The left against the right, moving no distance. If you can't get my signal, then check your modem, because you are living in the same damn scrotum. I'm not jerking off, don't give me the lotion. What I'm talking about is independent motion, yeah. You heard it. Because I'm sitting spread eagle in my easy chair. I got a hole ripped in my underwear. You didn't think I could do it, but now you know. It's a goddamn independent testicle show. The right one is bigger, the left one is better. But believe it or not, I got them working together. 'Cause my penis shrinks up in the cold ass weather. I got them weaving a pubic hair Christmas sweater. The left goes up.
Okay.
Maybe you should have been so committed to finding that song, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, John Benjamin's album, the juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah. Back to that, please.
His album sounds so incredible.
We'll give it a minute.
All right. You know, they all
can't all be winners.
They all can't be gems. But thank you, Jimmy Reefercake, for this week's. I'm not sure how it applies to what's going on this week in terms of the news, broadly speaking.
People aren't
I guess maybe
together.
More narrowly tailored news in your particular neck of the woods, as it were. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now when we say goodbye to the freebies and head into the members portion of the program. You know the drill. Your membership makes the free part of the program possible. Become a member today at Join the Majority Report. And don't forget, if you buy crap from Amazon, MajorityReportKickback.com. Also, JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. We'll be right back after this. 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be right back.